The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock.
Hey guys, this is Mike in California. Something that you guys said kind of resonated with me regarding Christian women being repressed. I have a friend, one of her little nieces had posted something on Twitter about someone that had a six-pack and was good-looking. She said, "I just want to sit on his face." And, you know, everybody in the room started laughing, whatever. And, of course, the Christian girl, my friend, she didn't understand what that meant. She could not understand what it meant to sit on someone's face. So we had to kind of sort of explain to her, understanding that she's a Christian woman, what the benefit of sitting on a face would bring. But it was kind of crazy. Anyways, glory hole, motherfuckers. You have a good day.
Hi, this is Emmy Wood from Raleigh, North Carolina. I just want to say I hope you guys know the backstory to 50 Shades of Grey. It was written by the username Snow Queen Ice Dragon, which is available online as Twilight Erotica. So 50 Shades of Grey is Twilight porn.
Hey, Dom and Cecil. Just had a thought to share with you about the Sabbath helper monkeys. Now, in Genesis chapter 17, when God commands Abraham to circumcise himself and his new family is, you know, the whole covenant between him and God, it's made very clear that slaves are included in the bargain. So I think there's a case to be made that the monkeys are going to have to get the chop too. So now that I've put the image of severed monkey penises in your heads, I think my work here is done. Glory hole, love you guys.
Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. This is episode 208 of Cognitive Dissonance. And we just got done recording an incredulous episode.
Yeah, and that should be available sometime next year.
Well, let's be charitable.
I know.
I think we have every reasonable expectation to listen to that show on the flight down to ReasonCon. I think that that's an entirely reasonable expectation.
Sure, the first half of it will be ready. But we recorded with the Scathing Atheist crew, so it was Noah and Heath and Tom and I on Incredulous, and Andy's always funny, and Noah and Heath were really funny. So when that comes out, we'll list it on the show notes. But we had a great time recording it. We really had a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to the episode because it was laugh out loud funny throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, I was laughing until I was crying, and the whole thing turned into really a commercial for Be Reasonably Incredulous.
Yeah, Be Reasonably Incredulous was a huge, deal.
I strongly encourage you guys to check that out. Marsh's baby there. It's Be Reasonable.
Yeah, Skeptic.
Be reasonably skeptical.
Skeptical.
Be skeptically reasonable.
No, it's be reasonably skeptical with a K, I think.
But we nailed that. And here we are recording here in beautiful Glory Hole Studios. We are together again.
Again.
And it feels so good. I would point out for our listeners that this is a post-meal episode.
Oh, it's nappy time.
Right, Cecil and I have used to have a pretty strict policy when we would work on each other's houses with each other. We'd have a policy that we don't eat at all until we're done working. So, and there was a good reason for that. It's because food and the overconsumption of food makes us...
The massive over... Right. The unbelievable massive overconsumption of the food.
Yeah, makes us incredibly lazier. I also want to point out that during our meal, my infant son vomited the contents of his stomach.
Yeah, and someone else's stomach. Yeah.
All over, like sitting, he's sitting at the table, like in his little high chair thing.
Yeah.
And Cecil's response was to look blithely over at the piles of cream-colored vomit and reach casually for another slice of pizza.
Look, that pizza isn't going to eat itself. Wait, that's all I'm saying.
It's not now.
You're an atheist. Give me a fucking break, Michael. All right, you know what? We need to start going to church every week.
We want to talk about the story that's kind of setting the atheist community so kind of a buzz or a light, and that is the murders that took place in Chapel Hill. Now, the story goes that there is a vocal atheist, and the media found out he was a vocal atheist because of what he wrote on Facebook.
Yeah, and the pages he liked, anti-theism he liked. He also liked Seth.
Yeah?
I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I know.
Like, he liked Seth. So, you know, I don't think that you get a lot of go kill your neighbor doctrine from the thinking atheist.
Yeah,
but
I haven't heard that episode.
I don't know which one that is. Is that behind the paywall? I don't know. You know?
Right. And anyway, this gentleman murdered three people.
Don't call him a gentleman.
Okay.
Because clearly at this point he turned himself in. I think he's saying I did it.
Yeah.
So this scumbag killed three
Thank
people.
You. I don't know. Yeah. I did that just reflexively.
Yeah, I don't know.
But the guy killed three people, murdered them fucking like execution style. And the three people that he killed were Muslims.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, this guy is an anti-theist.
Uh-huh.
And so the media is attempting to draw a correlation there between this person's anti-theistic views and the impetus for their action.
Sure.
When, in fact, all of the stories all report that the police are saying...
Yeah.
The police are the ones that are saying that it appears to be a parking dispute.
Even if it was for... I'm just going to make an assumption and say that those people are right, that he killed them because he did not like religion. I'm going to say let's just say that's right.
Say for the sake of argument. What's it prove?
There is, it proves nothing because there is no doctrine whatsoever that I know of that I would ever encourage anyone to follow that says that you should go out and hurt another human being. That just doesn't, I don't follow that type of doctrine. I know many, 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 many other atheists that don't follow that type of doctrine. And there's just no doctrine that says go out and hurt other people. Now, you can rip people out of context and you can say, well, Sam Harris said that, you know, this and this and this and this, and you can tear it out of context, even though it's fucking completely, you know, when it's in context, the explanation is there.
Right.
So you could tear it out of context and say, well, when I twist their words the way I want and it looks like a fucking, you know, tortured marionette when I'm fucking done, then I can make it sound like they're this devious group of people who are actually out to hurt other human beings. The most important distinction you have to make when you're talking about being either an anti-theist, which I don't think we are. I don't find myself being an anti-theist. I don't care. I really, to be honest, don't care enough about religion to be an anti-theist. I think you have to spend a lot of time either indoctrinated or something in order to even get to that point. And I just don't have the energy. So I just don't care. But to be honest, it's not about people. It's not about humans. It's not about hating Muslims. It's about hating the doctrine of Islam. It's about hating this book that is changing how people look at the world and bringing us back to a Bronze Age mindset.
Right.
That's what it's about. It's not about I hate you because you wear different clothes or I hate you because you happen to read this book. It's I hate the ideas that that book give you. Let's talk about why I hate that, or why I dislike it, or why I don't think it should be so widely distributed, or whatever it is the argument you want to make. But I don't think that there is anybody out there who's one is a humanist who's saying yeah, these murders, you know, they're kind of justified, right?
Yeah,
because
right.
there's a it, look at it in the other sense when because there's all these people who are comparing now atheists to the extremist Muslims. They're right. saying these extremist Muslims go out and kill people, and so do extreme atheists. So they're trying to make this connection. But, you know, where's the parade the next day to say that this guy was justified in killing them? Where's the because that happens all the time, right?
Yeah.
They go out and kill a cartoonist, and there's a parade the next day that says, "Hey, this might be justified or whatever." None of the atheists are going to be saying this is justified. This is justified. We're just not going to say it. And I also find it. I'm going to let you go after this, but I also find it extremely hypocritical of the people on the other side, specifically the vocal atheists that don't like what they call the new atheists. And this is like Resla and Glenn Greenwald and C.J. Werlemann. They all say the same thing, which is the anti-theist went out and did this awful thing. And then they say whenever it's a Muslim who goes out and does something, it's not the religion. But when it is an atheist, it's the doctrine.
Yeah.
And I just want to ask him, like, which fucking one is it? Because you're clearly vacillating here. Which fucking one is it, man? Is it fucking that doctrine influences you or that doctrine doesn't influence you?
Yeah. Right. It's like pick one. You've got to be consistent in your criticism. If we're going to criticize. We're not allowed to criticize, you know, Muslim doctrine as being a force for motivation for evil, according to the Greenwald, Aslan, Werlemann camp, right? But somehow that same exact methodology of thinking is available for use when it's turned on its head, when
right,
it's an atheist,
right.
you know, who's been indoctrinated into this anti-theistic worldview, right? And I hear that and I'm just like, nah, like it doesn't – like it's a one-off if it happens too, like – things to consider is that widely condemned by virtually every, you know, group, quote unquote, of atheists. So, you know, there's not, like you said, there's not been this, you know, groundswelling of support for this action from, you know, the filthy atheists who are like, yeah, let's get them. You know,
yeah,
there's no organizational feature that allows atheists to rally around violence.
Right.
The other thing is the new atheists. What are the rallying cries for? Why people like Harris, Hitchens, Dawkins, right? The three horsemen, right? Oh, well, two now, but still.
One's being dragged behind
on
his saddle.
But, you know, like, what were they famous for? They were famous for their humanism. They were famous for criticizing religion because religion causes violence and
it hurts
pain
other people.
And degradation of the human spirit and of the body. So it is literally impossible to be intellectually consistent and to say that I follow this doctrine of new atheism,
right.
if it's even a doctrine, and it's not really a doctrine, but to follow or to even agree with or to sympathize with the ideas and thoughts that have been identified as new atheism. They're identified as being critical of religion because of religion's propensity to create suffering. So you cannot say, yeah, I hate religion because it creates suffering. Allow me to create some suffering.
Right, right.
To add to the prior suffering in order to negate the suffering. That's crazy. And nobody is proposing that. Like nobody, you know, no influential voice on that side is proposing that action. So it feels like, first of all, it feels like a parking dispute.
Yeah.
It feels like a parking dispute. But even if it is not a parking dispute, even if it's a parking dispute that's also muddled by some other thoughts and feelings, even if that's the case, it's a one-off incident by an asshole.
Right. And even if he is following, let's say he's misinterpreting Harris, let's say.
Sure.
Let's say he reads Sam Harris and he misinterprets it and thinks, I'm going to go out and kill people because that's what Sam Harris wants, right? Because he's the leader or whatever. Yeah. I don't even know. But if he goes out and kills these people and he misinterprets it, why is that Harris's fault? And I know people will be like, well, hey, you say that about the Bible. Well, the Bible explicitly tells you to stone people to death.
Right.
Right. So the Bible explicitly says some horrible shit. The Quran specifically says some horrible shit. And people don't have to interpret it because it's right fucking there. So you have to twist these texts in such a way in order to get that message that I just don't think that the argument is relevant. I just don't think you can be like, oh, well, you know, he got it from here. Well, he has to fucking twist it in such a way that, you know, he could have got the same fucking message from Puff the Magic Dragon.
You know, and I would be more sympathetic to that viewpoint if it was more than a single person, right? If this was a group of people, if this was some kind of, you know, I'm just throwing it out there, like wacky new atheist church where there's an influential preacher who's standing at the pulpit and screaming fire and brimstone type bullshit and thumping the God delusion while doing it.
Yeah.
I would be absolutely critical of that because that would... That would mean that we have not just a human being, like a single person out of the 7 billion on the planet, who's said like, "Well, I'm fucking whacked out, and I, you know, read this book, and now it whacked me." When you have, I think there's a huge distinction to be made between the actions of an individual and the actions of a group or an organized body.
Yeah.
You don't have the actions of a group here. You don't have the actions of an organized body. You have the actions of some dude.
Yeah.
Some dude is not representative.
And there's no atheist, no big atheist names that are stepping up and saying that it was justified. Like that like that Muslim Chum Lee guy who's in fucking whatever his name is, Chunjin Chungri or whatever the fucking, you know what I'm talking about. Like that guy who's in Britain, whenever there's some horrible shit that happens, some fucking awful, horrible shit, like fucking someone's head got pulled off by another human being because they had sex outside of marriage, and he's like, "Oh, that's okay because it's, you know, it's Muslim." There's nobody saying that.
Yeah.
There's nobody out there who's like, "Yep, totally justified."
Right, right. You know, there's no imams.
Yeah.
You know, there's no priests. There's none of those people saying like, "Yeah, well, you know, we condone this," or this is the inevitable result of whatever. This is just one dude.
Yep.
And let it be one dude.
And last thing I want to say about this is there's all this talk about how atheists always say Muslims should denounce this. Muslims should denounce this. I personally, and I think the last time when the Charlie thing happened, we even said, like, I don't think Muslims need to come out and apologize for something some crazy fucker did. But you'll understand that your doctrine is giving a shield to these other people because you're believing the same thing. I still stand by that. I don't think that we need to apologize for this guy. I think that that there's no reason that we need to apologize for him. He's a clearly unbalanced guy who we just don't have. There's no connection anymore. No, even if he did do it because of anti-theism, there is no connection. So I don't feel like atheists need to come out and say murder is bad, because I think we all kind of get that murder is bad.
Sure,
and murder is not a good thing. So I don't think that there needs to be that outcry from our community to try to apologize for this guy. And I saw a couple of major organizations actually did kind of do this. And that's a little disheartening because I don't think that there's any doctrine. Point to the doctrines out there that say this.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think when you do that, you're almost lending credence to the idea.
Right.
You know, that we have as atheists, that there is something to apologize for. I think if you want to know my stance on violence, listen to the show.
Yeah.
There's 207 episodes where we absolutely decry human suffering and violence.
Yep.
And if 207 hours of
plus,
right, probably closer to maybe 300 hours at this point of us decrying human violence does not put you pretty well on task with where we fall on this particular subject, then there's nothing else I can do.
Right, yeah. You're just going to believe what you want to believe at that point.
In the name of Jesus, we speak that. Ora mana shanda karaba. Lo corre mene bene. Jede kede burushida. Kidi berasa. Uka chaka, uka, uka, uka chaka, uka, uka, uka chaka, uka, uka, uka chaka.
This story comes from Richmond.com. House panel approves oversight of daycare providers. Well, not all daycare providers.
What the fuck, dude?
Yeah. So it turns out that daycare providers in Richmond will need to license the providers, the people who work there. They'll have to fingerprint them to make sure they're not, you know, predators or felons or whatever.
I actually think a lot of these things in place, you know, you're protecting your children. Right. I don't dislike these things.
I think these are good ideas. I think you drop off, like, the most helpless thing that you have, and you're like, "Hey, I would like you to make sure that you take really good care of this. It's terribly important to me." And they're just like, "Well, we hire maybes."
The story in here is fucking terrifying. They say drop off a kid. This person drops off a kid at a daycare. There's a fire at the daycare, and they evacuate people. And the daycare provider's like, "Yep, everybody's out," because they didn't have a list. And one of the kids died because of it.
No idea how many people are.
You don't know how many people are in your place, and they have to. So they're putting in these regulations, and that's great. But
the religious institutions are all exempt from them.
That's fucking outrageous, dude.
They're just all exempt from them.
It's outrageous.
I can't understand how you can. I don't understand even why you would want this. Like, why if who's pushing? Somebody has to be pushing against this, right? So that means that a religious institution is saying, whoa, wait a minute. The state can't regulate me. And I know that that's part of that, like, you know, independent American spirit sort of stuff, right? Like, bing, ding, 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 do. You can't tell me what to do, Uncle Sam. You
got a
like,
giant hat.
Right?
And you're very short. And a huge handlebar mustache. And when you shoot your guns, you lift in the air. Yes, I know exactly the person you're talking about.
And I guess, like, I get that, and to some degree, I'm even marginally sympathetic to this idea that you don't want government interference in your life. But, Mike, I mean, really, this is the place where you draw the line and you make your stand like, wait a minute, I shouldn't have to know how many kids are in my charge.
I think that this should be more public knowledge, though. I think people should know there should be some sort of disclaimer on the form when you take your kid to the evangelical daycare and it says, we don't have to follow all the rules that the state puts out.
Yeah.
You don't have to follow the rules, but you got to disclose it. You got to tell everybody else that you don't follow the rules. And maybe they're willing to sacrifice a little bit of their money to take them to a place that has that ability.
Yeah.
The people I'm worried about are the poor people, the people who don't have a choice, the people who recognize that they're not hiring qualified professionals and what you're getting is bargain basement daycare. And they don't know the difference because they think, hey, my church, these people got to be upstanding folks. None of these fucking safeguards are in place. Not a single – I mean, they just basically just fucking – it's an open door. Just be like, right. Hey, you know what? We could just put the out for the prison right here and you could just come right in. You know,
right.
The prison bus pulls up beforehand and your staff gets out.
It's the perfect halfway house because you only have to watch the kids half the day.
Oh, no.
So it's a great,
literally a halfway house.
There's a synergy there between
God.
Them. You know, wouldn't it be great if it said, like, you know, Jesus Daycare. Reminder, this is an unregulated, unlicensed, uninspected facility.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's, he's just like, wait a minute. It's a who's it a what now?
I mean, everybody who has any extra money would go to a new place. They would
right.
They would have to. And these places probably would go out of business because, I mean, who's going to take you? I mean, I guess maybe if you trust your church or I don't know what that mindset leads you to. So
yeah.
I don't have a – I'm not so connected with a place that I would be willing to sacrifice the possible safety of my child for – friendly relations.
Right.
But there might be people out there who do that. But I would imagine that a lot of people who don't pay a lot of attention to that, who just presume that they're just as qualified as the places in which their other places are advertising, they would drop – that business would drop off.
You know, at least in Illinois, the same is true of private schools. Like you don't in Illinois, I don't know how it is in other states, but in Illinois you have to have a license to be a teacher. So you have to be licensed K-8 or 6-12 or
sure,
whatever you're
sure,
licensing,
yeah.
You know. But if you want to teach at the Catholic school, you don't have to have any license. There's no licensing or educational credentialing required. None whatsoever.
So you could just like stand in front of the students and bang a cymbal the entire time?
You could
time.
Be like, yeah, I'm the math teacher. And be like, what's your degree in?
Degree!
Woo.
You pull your pants down and run around the office.
Right.
Like, crazy this motherfucker.
Well, shouldn't our religious ideas stand up even under a scientific approach? I mean, either a thing is true or it isn't.
Well, certainly, but listen, Joe, there's some things we just have to accept on faith.
So the next two stories, they share a certain common theme. A delightfully common theme.
The purple hair is kind of awesome.
Yeah. So this comes from Fox News. Katy Perry, God spoke to me before Super Bowl performance. Katy Perry says that she received a message from God.
And the message was, how you doing?
I've done at least one thing right.
You know, I could maybe come down there. We could create another savior. What do you think? This conception will be anything but immaculate.
She says it's so funny. She said she over-prepared and she did a lot of prayer and meditation. I'm thinking that any success came from the over-preparation portion
yeah.
of the
well,
program, right?
Maybe.
But she says it's funny. I was praying and I got a word from God and he says, you got this and I got you. Because God was like totally into the halfway show, the
yeah,
halftime show.
Halftime show? Yeah. Halfway show?
Halfway show? I'd watch that with Katy Perry.
Halfway show?
Whatever. That's the middle.
It's the middle show.
The middle
it's
part
the
of the
show
footballing.
Of the middle footballing. That's what it's called.
It's when the guys are tired and they need to rest for half an hour.
And the announcers want to talk for 20 minutes.
Right.
That's what it's called. Yeah.
It's the locker room.
It's the break.
Thing.
It's the commercial break.
It's the puppy bowl. Isn't it? No, the puppy bowl is during the game. The kitten bowl.
The kitten bowl is at halftime.
That's the halftime show.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway. Speaking of kitten bowls.
I can't say it. Oh, that's a pussy I would watch, though.
I threw it up there for you.
I couldn't do it,
hoping you spike the volleyball.
Oh, God.
Gosh.
So then later,
I would ride her like a dark horse. So that's all I'm saying.
I love this. He says, and then I was on top of the lion.
Oh, yeah, you were.
Just some random guy. He looked at me with a headset I've never communicated with before. And he just looked me straight in the eyes. He said, you got this. And I was like, oh, this is God confirming I can do
this. I had no idea God was like a roadie.
I know. Like, God's like the key grip.
He's like the gaffing tape, just taping down cords
in the side.
Best
boy. No, that's Jesus.
Jesus is the best boy. He's the best Lord. This is just pretty evident. But when you're religious, I think if you want an explanation for something, it's very easy to find one.
Sure.
And this is exactly the explanation. Her showing off without a hitch. It's just like Russell Wilson guy who's like, I threw a bunch of interceptions, but God wanted me to because I came back and won the game. Sure. You know, that's a stupid thing to say because you fucking threw an interception on the last fucking play of the Super Bowl. And that didn't work out so well for you.
When you never even should have thrown the ball.
Exactly.
Like,
right.
At all.
Yeah. So clearly there's something there where, you know, these people want to justify what just happened through their own faith. And this is just an example of that, her justifying what just happened. I mean, she had a great – what if her fucking Super Bowl show sucked? What if Lenny Kravitz's guitar exploded or, you know, or Missy Elliott really did start rapping backwards or whatever? You know, I mean, you would have this really weird experience that just – and she would be like – she certainly wouldn't be blaming the failure on God. Yeah. And that's what happens all the time.
And isn't that a shame, right? Like here it is, like – like somebody, whether you're a football player, whether you're a performer, whatever it is, whether you're just some dude, when you give all the credit to God, you don't give yourself the props for all of the work and the preparation and all of the shit that you've done ahead of time to make your own successes. And you don't even give credit to like the fortunate stance that you just happen to have in your life, too, that led you to
exactly
this series
exactly
of circumstances.
Yeah.
Instead, you look at the world like – you look at the world like it was like in this weirdly sort
super
of narcissistic
it's all
way,
just
right?
narcissistic. When you think of a personal God, it can't be anything but ultra narcissistic.
And it's weird because it's narcissism that also strips you of your agency.
Right.
So
right.
It's not only narcissistic, but then it's also kind of self-defeating because you look at your world and you're like, yeah, I did great, but it was all just because, you know, I got a wish from a magic genie.
Sure.
You know, that's why I did good. It has nothing to do. If it really had nothing to do with that, then why'd you do all that work ahead of time?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, I overprepared and I was, you know, I knew I was going to be on the world stage and doing this big thing. And so, you know, I had this massive crew of people behind me and you know, had the talents and energies of really literally the best that money could buy.
Yeah. Well, except for the people who joined her on stage. I mean, Lenny Kravitz and Missy Elliott. I felt like I was in 2003
again. The third best that money can buy.
That's demonic, everybody. It is absolutely demonic.
But Cecil, not everybody agrees.
No.
Because WorldTruth.tv says that Katy Perry promotes dark magic at the 2015 Super Bowl halftime show, saying that a great wave of spiritual darkness was settling in over America. And this is straight Time Cube crazy.
This is nuts. Did you see some of the charts in here? The charts are outstanding.
The Samhain October 30 for the G's, the weird – I don't even know what this is. What is this?
It's like a crazy mobile is what it is.
Right?
Like if you hung it up over your bed, you would go insane by the morning.
You wake up.
Is what would happen.
You're just like eyes are bleeding and you're murmuring Cthulhu. That's like
– you're like room 23. Rad Rob. All they're doing is looking for symbols that they can try to say, look at how bad she is. But you're just like, wait, didn't she just talk about God? I don't understand how we're going to black magic here because she has a song that is clearly about black magic. It's like a fucking song, man. Just because you say it doesn't mean it makes it so.
And like you said, like the stuff that they're trying to like draw comparisons to or the symbols they're trying to find in the show. Like, first of all, if you're doing that, like if you're that weird, like super symbol hunter, just stop. Take a step back from the walls you have clearly written on top to bottom in your own feces and blood. Take a step back from there.
Yeah.
Recognize that you're fucking batshit insane and check yourself into all of the hospitals. Every hospital. If there was a fucking podiatry hospital, you need to be checked into it. You're so crazy when you're one of these fucking symbol hunters.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't there, and it strikes me too, like, is there no limit, like, when you're bagging symbols? Like, because they go out, and they're just like, they get their limit and then some.
Right. They find they found a checkerboarded floor.
Right.
Right? So, like, there's, like, a floor that looks like a chessboard, and they happen to find it in, like, some other area. And they're just like, oh, this is clearly demonics.
And, yeah. Well, and the Freemasons.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, it's from the Freemason Secret Society. Really? It's from the Freemason Secret. A woman who could not possibly be a part of a fraternal organization dancing on a checkerboard pattern is somehow promoting an org. That's like Kanye promoting the KKK.
What I love. I'm gonna let you finish, but the KKK are the greatest organization. No, the comment that Katy Perry has though about the Illuminati is awesome. She says, "Listen," when she was interviewed in Rolling Stone, "if the Illuminati exists, I would want to be invited. I see all that shit, and I'm like, come on, let me in. I want to be in the club. I have no idea what it is. It sounds crazy, and I love that. That's her reaction. Like, fucking bring me into the Illuminati. And the best part is, she's like, I don't know what it is, but I go to it, and they're like, well, she's clearly in the Illuminati. No, she doesn't know what it is.
She just said she's not allowed to play. But she wants. Look, here's the thing.
Yeah,
I will allow Katy Perry into our club.
Yeah.
She can come to this clubhouse anytime.
Yeah. Glory Hole Studios?
This is not a no girl. This is not a no girls allowed clubhouse.
No.
You can bring her purple hair and her dark magic and her checkerboard
and
pattern.
And her fucking owl. I don't care at this point. Bring the owl. Bring the glove.
I'll even let the owl play. I'll tell you what. We'll figure something out.
I'll tag the fucking owl in once in a while. Are you kidding me?
Want to contact the guys? Go to DissonancePod.com to get links to their Google+, Facebook, and Twitter accounts. If you want to contact them directly, send an email to dissonance.podcast@gmail.com. Or you can call and leave a message at 740-74-DOUBT. That's 740-743-6828. Do you want to support the show? Go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/dissonancepod. Or click the link on the podcast homepage, and you can donate to the production of Cognitive Dissonance on a per-episode basis. If you can't spare any money, take a second to give us a 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher, or spread the word about the show. We want to send a big, heartfelt glory hole to all the patrons and people who rate us. You fucking rock.
So this story comes from the Patheos blog's Progressive Secular Humanist. Pope Francis recommends violence against children.
Sure.
Well, he doesn't so much recommend it as he does expressly condone it. And praise it.
Right, yeah.
So it's not like a Pat Robertson situation where somebody asked him like a Dear Maury question, and he said, try beating your kids. Instead, he responded to a story where somebody spanked their kid and was like, nailed it. Yeah.
That's exactly what he did, too. He basically was like, somebody said, hey, should I shake this baby? And he's like, fucking shake the shit out of it. Go on, do it. Shake that bitch.
They're way more compliant after a good shakin's.
You know, before the shakin', total colicky baby. Right. After the shakin', he goes right to sleep.
Docile.
For a long,
as the day is
long time. You know what Pope also said recently, which I thought was pretty funny, was... he condemned childless couples as being selfish. I don't know if you saw this. He was like,
as being shellfish?
Shellfish, yeah. Oh. So we're allergic. People are allergic to us, it turns out.
You have exoskeletons.
We have tiny pictures.
He's swimming around in the sea. I don't think I want to have children.
Under the sea.
Clickety-clack, clickety-clack.
So he said we were selfish if you didn't have children.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, this is a really profound thing coming from a childless man.
Whose entire organization demands childlessness?
First off, who takes advice from a guy who doesn't have children, whose organization has a long history of child abuse?
When you put it like that,
yeah,
it does
right.
sound a
it
little
It sounds
shaky.
A little, maybe not. We'll maybe we should look for a different person to get our advice from.
Right.
Except for fucking Pope fucking.
Like almost literally like anybody fucking, else.
It's like Big Pope a right hook. You know what I mean? Like, Big Pope, spare the rod, spoil the child.
It is rather shocking that let me read some of the things he says. He says, one time I heard a father in a meeting with a married couple say, I sometimes have to smack my children a bit, but never in the face so as not to humiliate them. How beautiful. He knows the sense of dignity. He has to punish them.
Wait, dignity? Did he say dignity?
He did. He done did it.
He done did say that.
No. This isn't Barroom Atheist. Come on. He says he has to punish them, but he does it justly and moves on, as opposed to those parents who beat their children unjustly
and then are
hung up about it.
Right.
You know? I mean, once you smack your kids around, move on.
Sure, yeah.
The day is long, man. Yeah. You got other things to do.
Yeah.
You got robes to wear. Yeah. Funny little bubble cars to drive in.
I think you should give people advice on how not to leave bruises on their kids.
Oh, no. So,
like, you know, if you just put the tomatoes in a sock and you beat them with it, they don't bruise, but it hurts like a motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Here's the thing. If you hit a kid in the face, then the kid loses dignity.
Right.
But if you just electrify their nipples. The worst thing. Oh, God. What is this guy? Like, how many kids has Pope? Which Pope are we on now? Pope Francis.
Which Pope are we on? Pope the Sixth? I don't know.
How many kids do I have? How many kids is this guy raise? I wouldn't let this guy babysit. I will let the neighbor girl's friend that I don't know. Babysit.
See, the thing is,
I'd let this guy.
If I knew a priest was around, I would actually have an armed guard around my child. Like,
you see, there are demons in the earth. Read Matthew, Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. There are demons all over where, and Jesus cast out demons when he walked the earth.
This story comes from the Huffington Post. Pastor sexually assaulted woman while performing exorcisms. Well, that sounds bad, but actually, if you read this, it sounds like it's more than one woman. So then that's.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. No, that's
if
horrible.
You could spread out that damage among many people, then I think
it's that old phrase? Yeah. It's like one dead person is a tragedy, you know, a thousand is a statistic. So he's just looking to make it.
One dead person is a tragedy, a thousand is a comedy. Is that how it goes?
Oh no.
Yeah, this is sad. It turns out that people will manipulate other human beings and say that they're filled with spirits and then try to fill them with their own spirits.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah, that's not good.
He's got a biography, which is written on the United Spiritual Baptist Church website. He says that he's married with a vast number of spiritual children. And I guess spiritual children correlates directly to actual children produced as the result of exorcisms.
Spiritual children, that's what they're calling it now.
Bishop Dr. Wayne Jones.
So wait, hold on a second. Spiritual, that's what he calls it because it's made during an exorcism. What about like when you conceive a kid on a one-night stand? Or what is that, like a bar child? Is that what that is? Like that's, what, you know, or a car child? Or if you do it out in the middle of nowhere, it's a star child?
Yeah, oh,
like,
this is
which
my
is
up
it?
Against the shower wall child.
This is
my...
This is my I did a lot of crazy things in college child.
Right? Yeah. This is my I actually don't remember child. Bishop Dr. Wayne M. Jones, just so we don't get
doctor?
Him confused. Right. Doctor. Bishop doctor. He's a bishop doctor.
Is that like two pieces on a chessboard? Is that what that is?
You can move diagonally and forward. He's like a queen.
He's like, hey, wait a minute.
I don't want to insult the queens. Never mind. says he's a man who believes in gratitude. And because of this, he always talks about how grateful he is to everyone who has touched his life in some way to get him where he is now. And I found that particularly surprising because he clearly wants to touch as many other people as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Demons hate it when Dr. Wayne Bishop Fred
Durst.
Jones gives him a rubbing. That's worse than holy water. Holy semen is way worse than holy water.
Yeah. Well,
it's more powerful. It's more viscous.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
You can wash off the holy water.
Wakefield is not just any researcher. His 1998 study on autism and childhood vaccines literally changed the way many parents think about vaccines. The study was based on just 12 children. That's right, 12 children. But many parents, desperate for answers around the world, embraced Wakefield's claim that he'd found a link between autism and the vaccine for measles, mumps, and rubella.
This story also comes from the progressive secular humanist blog from Patheos. Rand Paul, parents own their children. Vaccines cause mental disorders. Remember, this is a Republican presidential hopeful. Rand Paul claims parents own their children. This is exactly what he said. Let me quote it. He said, I have heard many tragic cases of walking, talking, normal children who wound up with profound mental disorders after vaccines. And then he says, I'm not arguing vaccines are a bad idea. I think they're a good thing, but I think the parents should have some input. The state doesn't own the children. Parents own the children.
That's why if I were to ever have children, I would make them work at 5 years old in like a sewing machine factory or something. Right. Because
I would dynamite.
Because I own them. Yeah,
right. Broken glass shack factory.
Yeah, like a dirty syringe factory is where.
A tetanus factory? They just manufacture tetanus. Nobody even buys it. It's just,
right.
Just, you know, keeps them tough.
Nobody buys it. It's like a whole fucking bucket of tetanus at the grocery store nobody touches.
Well, the nice thing is the kids can't complain because of the lockjaw.
That's it. You're right. They just mumble a lot.
No talking back now, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, you starved to death.
What did he say? He said he's seen people after vaccines.
Yeah.
Have this. I wonder if they just don't understand the passage of time, so they're using that as like a marker in a child's life. So you're saying, instead of saying my 2-year-old, you're saying the child had his vaccine, so that's the marker. Because clearly, you know, you're basically saying, well, he had his vaccine, so that must be the cause. No, it just happens to be after his vaccines that he developed this thing. Okay, well, great. Point to the fucking studies that show that the vaccines are the problem.
Yeah.
Can't do it. Oh, sorry.
It can't just be that it happened subsequent to.
Yeah, right.
Right? There's more than that. Otherwise, it's correlation versus causation. It'd be like saying, like my son just drank chocolate milk a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
If 20 minutes from now, you know, he falls and hits his head and be like, fucking chocolate milk makes kids fall down.
Yeah.
Like, that's not how that works. Just because one thing happens subsequent to the ingestion of a fucking thing doesn't make the thing cause the other thing. That's not how things work. You're doing thinging wrong.
Well, this is Rand Paul, but is his dad a vaccine guy? I wonder.
I don't. Isn't he a doctor?
Yeah, Ron is.
Oh, Ron is. Yes,
Ron is.
I don't know. Is his dad a vaccine nut?
I don't know. He might be.
Oh gosh, the vaccine nuts cannot become. I mean, that shit's just got to stop, man.
It really
vaccine
does.
Vaccine nuts cannot become
and, you know,
major political.
They always fucking dance around, and I think they dance around because I think all these people realize the effectiveness of vaccines, but they just don't want to lose a political base, so they fucking dance around it. Because you heard what he says here. He says something like, I'm not arguing that vaccines are a bad idea. I think they're a good thing, but I think the parents should have some input. And you're basically saying, look, I kind of think this thing is good, but I don't want to say some shit that's going to rile up my fucking mouth-breathing base.
Right.
That's going to be like, well, I ain't going to punch that ticket anymore. Go get it. You know? So you're basically fucked. You have to dance this line as a politician to try to fucking placate the mouth breathers.
Right. It's like the federal government ain't going to poke my kids with no needles full of their fancy science medicines. Like, we get all the medicine we need from the fucking catfish we go noodling for.
I don't need no sassafrasin. Sassafrasin gives me a sassafrasin.
We're going to get a ding ding do. Like, okay. All right. There you go. Do you vote? Are you over the age of 18 and not a felon in white?
You're so short. Can you even reach the pole? You're so tiny, Yosemite Sam. How do you even get up there? Do you have to stand on something or what?
It's got
to
be hard for all those web-fingered inbreds to punch their tickets. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm serious. No, I mean, let's be serious. Like, you got to take a break from fucking your sister to get over to the polls.
Absolutely. And that's normally Monday through Friday.
It's exhausting.
So,
but you got to tag in your other brother because I mean, you don't want to give her a break.
Yeah, and when you travel over there, you got to go over in the pickup truck with no doors. And that's dangerous, right?
And then who's going to watch the coon dogs?
Yeah, exactly. They can just run free. You don't want that to happen.
Who's going to treat that raccoon?
Who's going to make possum stew later? I mean, you have to make the possum stew. It's not going to make itself.
Well, and but let's be fair. It's not all just a bunch of dumbass redneck hillbillies that are going to the anti-vax. There's also like the far liberal side.
Absolutely.
That are super anti-vax
the
nuts.
Crazy, crunchy, weird people who are...
The fucking granola nuts.
Absolutely.
Ugh. And that's actually kind of worse because those people tend to be like... pretty well educated, you know, but obviously clearly not in science, you know.
Well, so, there's a lot of woo that those people believe, though. The far left, the really far crazy left, that is equally crazy to the crazy conservative, equally crazy. And you get you get some of these people who believe in that. They'll believe in medical conspiracies. These are people who, you know, push forward the 9/11 agenda forward. It's rife with people who don't think you landed on the moon.
Right.
You have tons of conspiracy craziness from the other side.
Yeah, and it's weird to me that any person can think that access to Google and, you know, playing around a little bit on the internet suddenly makes that person an expert on all scientific matters.
Yeah.
Like, it's like all of a sudden it's like, yeah, well, I've got the authority to question, you know, the entire established body of medical history. Like, really? Why? Well, I, you know, look some things up.
I check some shit out. Yeah.
Right. I can drop a few links on a Facebook argument.
Right.
You know,
right.
Here's some links you haven't learned. Like, okay, great. None of that, like, you're just a layperson.
Yeah.
What you don't understand, like, is all of the basis of science. Like, science is an incredibly narrow and difficult, you know, field for people to understand when they come at it as a layperson from the outside with neither the vocabulary, the training, the education, the background. They're just like, yeah, well, I can engage this conversation with an epidemiologist. Like, no, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't do it. You are ill-qualified for this conversation.
Yeah.
Shut your fucking trap.
And, you know, there's another argument that people make when they talk about, like, how there's no recent articles on this.
I was just engaging in this the other day.
And it's just like, fuck off. Like, that's because the science is settled, ass fuck.
Right? It's like somebody's like, well, you know, that article's from all these safety and efficacy studies are from the 60s and 70s. Yeah, and then they say that as if that's a problem. And it's like, well, yes, that is when you do them, is when the vaccines are first being introduced into the system. And then you... do your safety and efficacy studies. Why would you redo them? Would you just suddenly, like, did we mutate?
Yeah.
Are humans suddenly, do I got a fucking third arm somewhere I don't know about?
I wish I had an arm.
No. All right, pinky finger, you know, whatever.
I got a third grain of rice somewhere.
Abortions for all. Very well. No abortions for anyone. Abortions for some. Miniature American flags for others.
Yay! This story comes from crooksandliars.com. Fox's Honig. Mandatory vaccinations could lead to forced abortions. They could. They could, Cecil.
What?
They could.
What does that even mean? What's a forced abortion?
It is a... Is
that like when a SWAT team gives you an abortion? Is that what that is?
It's a Fox News myth. That's what it is. It's a Fox News myth. But it starts with a vaccination.
Okay.
And then a forced abortion.
What could it possibly be?
Well, only Jonathan can explain.
Yeah, absolutely forced. I mean, and vaccines, immunizations, Eric, in my opinion, should never be forced, never be required by government, even for the so-called public good. Think about where this could lead if government gets involved in science and medicine. You know, forced sterilizations, forced abortion, forced pills, forced treatments. Government's job is to protect you from infectious diseases, however. So I think if someone has mumps, if someone's contagious, then they should be forcibly quarantined by government because they are a risk to the public at large.
What kind of weird logic is that?
So
I think before you enter in this, you have to not know how vaccines work. I think that's the only way to get where he got.
Wow. The number of things that are wrong with that. There are many diseases that you're asymptomatic, but you're still contagious. So waiting until you become symptomatic for a disease, and then the disease is identified, and then the government is notified, then the government puts you in quarantine, you've already had how long to walk around spreading fucking diseases? I mean, even if you bought into all the insane logic or quasi-pseudo-logic that led up to that, at that point, it's the fucking cat's out of the bag. You've been walking around fucking measling on everybody.
Sure. Since when is it public health policy to give people like forced sterilizations? Like, when is that? When does that doesn't come into play? It's a stupid fucking argument. We're talking about public health policy. We're talking about the necessity of vaccinating every person that you can, so we keep that herd immunity as high as possible.
Right.
So that people who can't get the vaccine can fucking live a normal life. That's just how vaccines work. You're not just like, well, we got to make sure we get as many abortions as possible so that people can have kids. Or I don't even, what the fuck does that even mean?
Well, as liberals, we have to hit our abortion quotient. Like, we got to hit our quota.
How many points per game do you have?
We're like cops writing tickets, but we're just like writing abortion
tickets. Oh, every time you go over one of those little things that in the road that go ding ding, a baby gets shot out. Ding ding, ding ding.
Like, the cops pull over pregnant women and they're like, oh, all right, radio it in. Yeah, we got a forced abortion. That's a 293. That's a 293. Like, really?
Instead of blowing in the breathalyzer, you get sucked in the suckalyzer or something. it's like a vacuumizer.
It's like a roadside Flobee.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
We can't talk about this anymore.
Please delete the whole show.
Nuke it from orbit.
So this story is just weird. It's from the Raw story. Good Samaritan pastor arrested for lying to police about being shot and robbed by a black man.
Okay.
I love this story.
I like his face.
This fucking giant fucking croissant-headed man. With his weird flesh-colored beard.
He looks like a fat peach crayon.
It seems reasonably obvious from the story that he shot himself
twice
by accident.
How do you shoot yourself twice?
By being this doughy.
You're sitting in the car. You're like, bang, fuck, bang, fuck.
That hurts so much. Why did I do it again?
And then he calls somebody because he's so embarrassed that he shot himself that he has to make up a story. And they're like, they stole my wallet. And then they look at beside him and they're like, is that the wallet you lost, sir?
He makes up this whole
maybe.
They robbed me of my things I still have. Because he tells the police that he'd been shot after pulling over his car to help a couple who appeared to be having car trouble.
Right.
The man, of course, is black in this story. Interestingly, it was an interracial imaginary couple. So
yeah, right. If you're gonna dream up a couple, you might as well go big.
Right. And so the guy evidently tried to rob him, and he, you know, fought back, and, you know, he gets shot twice. But the best part is that none of it happened. Like, none of it. He just wanted to make it. He's like, I just shot myself. How can I totally look cool?
That's exactly what it is. Well, it's just, how do I not look like an asshole for shooting myself, right? How am I going to explain this to all the people I'm going to have a drink with or talk to or on church when I'm limping around, whatever it is? How am I going to explain this to somebody? And so you got to make up a story. At least that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah,
it looks like he made up a story about, you know, fucking a band of brigands that fucking struck out upon him, and he had to pull out his falchion to fend them off, and he accidentally fucking decapitated himself.
They were robbing to me and giving it to the poor. Yeah. I don't know. Little John attacked this quarter staff.
Yeah, exactly.
It was crazy.
They were merry, that band of misfits. Yeah, but... I guess the reason why we're talking about this is because he's a pastor and he lied.
Right.
He's lying. He's blatantly lying to people, you know, and you're like, aren't the people that the religious people go out of their way to say are their leaders and even self-stylized leaders?
Right.
Right. Aren't those people supposed to be paragons of your morality, right? Aren't they supposed to be someone you look to and say, hey, this is a person who we get our cues from. They should be at least at least on a level of not breaking the major tenets of their rules. And sure, lying clearly is a bad thing.
And then throwing the race thing in there?
Yeah, the race thing is just creepy.
It's just like, he's just like, where's he how from, can I though? Also make a weird political statement? Virginia.
Well, that's the race thing makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, it's not surprising.
It's not surprising.
Not surprising at all.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
So the story is just funny. It comes from Times of San Diego. Obama depicted as rape suspect in Fox 5 News graphic error. It's so bad. They do an over-the-shoulder photo in this story of the news. They got the newscaster, and they do the over-the-shoulder photo, and they're talking about, like, a rape suspect not being charged. And I got a picture of Obama, and it says, no charges.
No charges. And his hands up like, hey, what do you want from me? Oh,
I didn't know it.
Look. Well, you know, they should have had a picture of the woman sitting there with the rape kit, and it just says, thanks, Obama.
Now, to be entirely fair to Fox News, when asked why there was no on-air acknowledgement or apology for the error, they said, they really don't do that when it's just a small thing
like
that.
It's just a tiny thing. I mean, come on.
When all you do is call the President of the United States a rape suspect.
Right, yeah.
That's a whoopsie.
Yeah. You see? That's a technical news term. Yeah. It's called a whoopsie. Yeah.
Oh, here at Fox, did we accidentally impugn the president? the black Democrat president? Yeah. Was that when the accident? Should we acknowledge? Yeah. No. Moving on.
Did he commit the rape, though?
Well, no charges are filed, so that's...
God.
It's just a stick figure, like the Fox News, like the graphic artist, like, will you please draw them? It's just a stick figure, and then the face is colored in black.
Yeah, like,
that's it.
And
like,
that's the president. They use that. They use that when the president's talking. They animate it just so it's like.
That's how they dub over his State of the Union address with a peanut sound, like womp, 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 womp.
Every Asian guy is Kim Jong Il too. That's it. Everybody looks the same to them.
They just play that Gangnam Style every time.
That's a different guy.
I know. Like you're talking about North Korea, and it's just like they just show Psy every time. It's like, whatever.
Hunger Style.
Forced Labor Style.
Oh, no. Prison Camp Style. Oh,
it's terrible.
Oh, gosh, that section can't go in the fucking podcast.
It's all in the podcast.
So we want to thank our current patrons, Weston, Hugh, Buzz, Joe, Derek, Chris, and Cody. Thank you all so much for your generous donations. It's great that you people donate to the show. It makes us feel great that people appreciate the show and donate to it. So we want to thank everybody who does that. We also want to say that last week I tried to post to Patreon specific Patreon only content, and I wound up, there was just a problem with it, but it did get reposted. So if you got a message initially that said that there was some content there and there wasn't any content there, it did actually get posted. So there is an extra, there is like one or two extras later on that you can go ahead and download if you're a patron. So go check it out if you get a chance.
And we thank you very much. The patron money helps ply us full of pizza.
Yeah.
And fill Cecil's car with gas when he needs to drive the fucking 60 miles round trip to get to Glory Hole Studios.
We got a message, and this is from Danny. And Danny just wanted to talk to us a little bit about the concept of marriage and whether or not marriage should be a right, and should we call it marriage in civil unions.
Yeah, and so Danny said that he believes that marriage is not a religious right or a privilege. It should never be considered as such, even if it is for the semantics of it. Relating to his own marriage, he said they got married not out of practical reasons, nor to get married because we felt like we needed to. We got married because we wanted to celebrate our love by committing to each other in a ceremony that was made to celebrate love. And I, for one, would not have been pleased if I had been told the traditional way was not open to us because of my lack of religious beliefs. And there were many other points that were made, but I kind of want to focus on that because I think that there's a distinction. You can go – so Cecil and I were arguing in an episode or two ago that you could get a civil union as a secular couple, Go get a civil union. It bestows upon you all the rights and privileges that marriage bestows upon you, which here in the States are very important. Those are really significant. So whether or not that's the impetus for your marriage, it's still something that you have a right to as a couple if you so choose to pursue. And then there's just because you don't have a religious ceremony doesn't mean that you can't have a celebration, and you can call it whatever the fuck you want. The thing is that because the state doesn't call it marriage doesn't mean you can't call it a marriage, right? You can call it whatever the fuck you want. The religious shit's all made up anyway.
Yeah.
The point is that the state itself, the state should not be in the business of deciding what marriage is and what marriage isn't. The state should be in the business of deciding who gets access to what privileges and rights.
Yeah.
That at that point, the state is out of it.
Yeah.
And then it becomes
a personal decision
and a social decision.
Yeah. So whatever you want to do. And right. And I really do think it's a semantics argument. I think that there's not we can't argue about whether or not the religious get it or we don't. And you said something in your email about how the religious shouldn't have this option to lord it over us, to say, I got a marriage and you didn't and yours is worth less. Think about this. If someone were to say that to you, would it change anything about right. you with your partner? Would it make you feel like it's less? It certainly would make me feel less if I happen to get a civil union and somebody's like, well, yours is worth less. Well, I don't think so. Yeah. I think mine is worth just as much as yours. I don't care what you think. As long as I have the same rights as somebody else, I don't care what they think. So to me, it doesn't bother me that it's that if there is a different name for it, it doesn't change how I feel about my wife.
It's like when people say like, oh, you got an iPhone?
Yeah.
You should get it. It's like, well, then don't get one. If you don't like it, don't get the thing. It's like, you use a Mac?
Yeah.
Like, shut the fuck up. Like, that shit only matters if you worry about what other people think of your choices.
Right. We got a message from Max, and Max says, I've been listening to your podcast, studying your words, and taking notes for a long time. Although you are normal humans, you seem to... you seem dedicated to your fight for civil rights for people of all genders, race, color, sexual orientation, and nationality. Yet you seem to ignore us, the plights of my people, the purifiers, Friends of Humanity, and other hate groups have been speaking ill of us in the media, attacking us and marginalizing us. And he also says the attack on Genosha led to millions of our lives being taken by militant zealots. And I'm absolutely with you. I think the mutants, they need to make sure they are represented. And I actually call my penis Professor X. So I'm with you. I'm with you on this. He's bald, he's little, and he's kind of handicapped. So I think that it totally matches. I think
that's a great analogy. I actually refer to mine as Wolverine because although occasionally he will wilt, back he will come. He will rise again.
I thought you were talking about the hairdo.
It's barbed like a duck's.
It's like a twirly one that just explodes out of there. And it makes a snicked sound when
you
it
know
does
somebody's
it.
Gonna send us an email like a duck's penis is actually curly Q, not a barb. Like, that's a pig's penis. We're gonna get that. We're gonna get that email.
We're gonna get it, I recognize. Tom, we got an interesting message from David in Kentucky about suggesting they take books off a shelf in a bookstore.
Yeah, so David said, I just had a disagreement with the Secular Student Alliance at UK, at least on their Facebook. I made a post asking people to call a local bookstore and ask if they pull Melanie's Marvelous Measles, an anti-vax propaganda book aimed at kids. I got a lot of opposition, somewhat surprisingly, consisting mostly of slippery slopes about how all curtailing of freedom of speech is bad and personal liberty and so on, mostly a bunch of arguments that both sides deserve a forum. I tried to explain that I said nothing about legal action, instead simply suggested consumer action, but that didn't seem to get through. It had the personal liberty at all costs conviction of a 20-something. Am I way off base here? No, I don't think you're off base. I think it's entirely within your rights to call a private company as a private consumer and ask nicely that they do something. And they're entirely within their rights to tell you to go pound sand if that's what they want you to do.
Exactly,
You know, we get to vote with our feet. We get to vote with our dollars. We get to vote with our voices.
Absolutely.
What you can't do, what would be inappropriate to me is if, you know, the government stepped in and pulled that book.
Sure.
I would actually fight that. I think government should not be telling us what books we have access to or don't have access to. As a consumer, you have a right to politely ask if they not carry something. If they tell you to go fuck yourself, well, then you hang up the phone and move on with your life.
Sure.
That's it. There's nothing wrong with asking nicely. Yeah.
And, you know, the other option is if people aren't responsive to taking it off the shelves, then what needs to happen is there needs to be either a book or some sort of website or something dedicated to debunking this piece of literature, whatever it is. There needs to be some set rules that somebody goes through and just debunks the thing start to finish and works their way through it. And there's plenty of qualified individuals to do that. And then, you know, then you have a way in which to go on websites and other places and social media and say, when somebody quotes this book or points to this book as a good book, you could just point them to the rebuttal of this book.
Sure.
So there's ways in which to combat it. So I think that, you know, if they say no, there's other ways to do it too. And I think that there's plenty of ways to get the correct information out there about vaccines.
You know, what you could do is you could create a pseudonym that's just like a letter or two different than the original author so that your book gets shelved next to it and call it, you know, Measles Are Mostly Miserable.
Yeah.
And write a book that debunks it so it'll get shelved at the bookstore next to Melanie's Marvelous Measles.
Yep.
And then that's one way to actually get the book literally side by side with the bullshit.
Sure. And then you can't put that on your CV then, so that's a big deal.
I know. I put like Catcher in the Rye on mine. Nobody checks that shit.
Tom, we got a message from Chris, and Chris sent a message to us and was talking about we did do this. We really kind of fucked up about Idaho. We really, I think, messed up.
We forgot some things. First of all, he says the potato joke is really old. I mean, you're forgetting some of the other things we're really well known for, too, like computer tech parts manufacturing and neo-Nazis. So, yeah, really sorry we forgot about your neo-Nazis. He says it doesn't matter if you're a Nazi.
She,
I'm sorry.
It's a name that is both genders, so.
They said it doesn't matter if you're a Nazi in northern Idaho or a bigoted religious nut in southern Idaho. You can't deny what Idaho is really all about. Hate and fear mongering. Not just potatoes.
No kidding, right? Get it fucking straight, for crying out loud.
We tend to focus, admittedly, on the starchy deliciousness.
Yeah, absolutely. Whenever there's an opportunity to talk about, like, hate crimes or starch, we always go for the starch. Yeah. That's what I order off the menu. I never order the hate crimes.
No, it's...
I don't want to fill up on hate crimes. We got a message about the polio vaccine, which I don't know if this is true because we do literally no research for the show, so I don't know if this is actually true. But someone by the name of Cora said, "Hey guys, love the show. Just wanted to let you know that you cannot get polio from the polio vaccine as they use a dead virus in the vaccine. There is absolutely 0% chance to contract polio from the vaccine. Anyway, thanks for all you do." Yeah, I don't know. I suspect you're probably right. What I think Pat was talking about, though, when he was talking about that, was probably maybe an older polio vaccine that might be that they could have. I don't know if you've always couldn't get polio from the vaccine. I don't know where that came from. So it might be that he might not be telling a lie or a story to make a point.
It's just that was the past. You know what I mean? Like his experiences happened so long ago. They're outside of recorded history.
And justifiably so, pointing this out is good because I think he used that point to rebut the fact that vaccines aren't safe.
Yeah.
And I think that's a justifiable point. If they don't cause polio now and there's no way they can, that's a shitty thing to say because some people might not vaccinate their kid based on that terrible information.
It's true. It's true.
There's a possibility we're going to be on another podcast this upcoming week. There's a podcast called Relevant Nonsense that wanted to interview us. Right now we're scheduled, so hopefully we're going to be on their podcast. We'll post the show notes in when that show posts, and we'll keep you updated on it. We wanted to thank Adrian, by the way. He says, love the glory hole, cognitive dissonance, and the Quiznos demon. And he gave us a very large contribution to our PayPal, which you can find on dissonancepod.com. It's right on the right-hand side. We want to thank him for his donation. You know, we thank everybody every week, all the patron donors. But, you know, the people who send in the individual donations, we want to thank them, too. So thank you very much for sending in your donation. Someone asked about buttons that we sell, and I think we had mentioned buttons a while back, but I don't think we ever created a button.
I don't think we did either.
I don't remember.
I'm certain that we didn't. I don't have one.
I don't remember them.
So
I would give them away if we had some. I just don't think we do. Yeah. Maybe I could contact our guy at Indie Merch and see if they can create buttons.
The thing is, though, that I think with buttons, you have to buy them in like pretty large numbers, like significant
true.
Lots.
That's true. I don't think that they'll do individual, but what we might be able to do, maybe we can do it. We'll see if we have time between now and ReasonCon. We might be able to buy like 100 or 200 buttons and walk down and hand them out,
but we'd have 99 to 98 left.
We'd have a lot left, but we could give them out on the flight. So
that's true.
Yeah,
no, you can't bring buttons on an airplane.
You're probably right. We had a message from David, and David said, I'm a new listener and been introduced to your podcast via Skeptics with a K. I am a British guy and enjoy Skeptics with a K because of the humor and the down-to-earth nature of the hosts. A few weeks ago, I heard them read an email from a listener that was critical of their use of swear words. They made no apologies for using a full range of the vocabulary. Good for fucking them.
Yeah,
way
absolutely.
To go. And I've heard them say that many times. Like, fucking, you don't fucking like it.
Listen
so long, bro.
Else. Yeah.
And he says, but they mentioned in their reply, we do swear a lot, but nothing like those blokes over at Cognitive Dissonance. I love that we're the fucking bar. We're the level
that
people go to. Like, if you can somehow crawl under this podcast,
yes.
You have failed utterly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are the primordial soup is really how
which
low.
All things.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
David from Kentucky sent in another email. David said, hey, there's a point about vaccines that we glossed over.
Right. We missed. We just missed. So when we were talking about vaccines, we were talking about immunocompromised people, allergic people. We were talking about kids as being susceptible groups of people that couldn't receive vaccinations and so had to rely on herd immunity. But the reality is, too, that and David is kind to point this out. This is not the whole story. Vaccine effectiveness plots to a bell curve, which leaves an outlying percentage of the population for which the vaccine doesn't confer any immunity, and for a number of biological reasons. This percentage of the population is forced to rely on the herd immunity as well, and worse, they have to do so unknowingly. There is no practical way of testing for immunity that I know of aside from exposing that person to the disease in question. So thank you, David. That's an interesting point. So we are all relying on it, even those of us who are vaccinated. And I will say also, just as a personal aside, I actually got the MMR vaccine for the first time in my life yesterday, as a matter of fact, yesterday morning. I was allergic to eggs when I was a boy, so it was incubated in eggs, and so I wasn't able to get the MMR. But, you know, I mean, money where your mouth is, right?
Yeah,
so
go get it.
I went out and got it. Trouble is, I did develop autism. So I spent time rocking back and forth.
Sure, yeah.
Did,
how many toothpicks are there?
There's 120 toothpicks.
So we wanted to mention, Jennifer sent us a message and said, just heard that you fuckers are going to NC. We're in NC. I live in Virginia, but I'd hang out with you guys for a bit if it's within driving distance. I don't know if Hickory is. It's probably on the bottom of the state, so probably not in your driving distance. But we are going to be in Hickory, North Carolina. Very soon in April for ReasonCon, and we're going to be down there for the entire weekend, and we're going to be hanging out and just chilling with all kinds of other podcasters that are going
to
be down there.
And actually, Cecil, I will point out that I found a reason to be excited, another one, about ReasonCon, and that's that I was recently reading a list of some of the best small beer cities in America. Asheville, North Carolina, 1 hour from Hickory, I looked it up. It was named the number one best small beer city in America.
Really?
So, yeah. So there actually might be something worthwhile there to drink.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, if you're interested in going to ReasonCon, go to reasonnc.com. That's where you can find out about all the tickets. It happens to be happening, I think, the exact same weekend of QED. It's April 25th, 2015. It's going to be in Hickory, North Carolina, and you can find out all the details about ReasonCon, like I said, at reasonnc.com. We're going to be there. Scathing Atheist is going to be there. Barroom Atheist is going to be there. It looks like Dogma Debate with David Smalley is going to be there. My Book of Mormon with David Michael is going to be there. There's going to be a lot of people there.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
No Religion Required is going to be there. I mean, you know, you just start naming off all these people that are going to be there, and there's a lot of people. So it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. We're just going to go down there and have a blast. So if you want to come hang out with us, go to ReasonCon, find us at the bar, and we'll buy you a drink.
And if you don't want to hang out with us, Cecil just rattled off a list of much better people to hang out with.
Yeah, more fun, more intelligent,
right.
Better looking. People that will take up less seats in the bar.
That's the thing. We each need our own booth.
We really do.
That's the problem.
That's it for this show.
Yes, it is.
We're going to leave them, like we always do, with...
The Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain deadpan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and views expressed in this show are that of the hosts only. Our poorly formed and expressed notions do not represent those of our wives, employers, friends, families, or of the local dairy council.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 U.S.-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. P-A-I-R.com.